Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Join Justin Townsend and the Harvesting Nature crew as they explore the world of cooking wild fish and game while sharing recipes, tips, tricks, and lessons learned from their pursuit of wild food. We sure hope you ate before the show, because you're going to leave hungry. This is the Wild Fish and Game Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Harvesting Nature's Wild Fish and Game Podcast. You got your host here, Justin Townsend, and today I have a special guest on, and we're going to deviate a little bit from some of our normal programming and talk a little bit about this topic. I'm trying to figure out the best way to roll it out.
You just have to send it.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about going to the bathroom in the outdoors. So my buddy Noah's on here, and we're going to chat through this a little bit. And he's got a cool kit that him and his brother-in-law, right? You guys
correct.
Co-founders?
Yep.
So they created this really awesome all-in-one bathroom kit, which when you say all-in-one bathroom kit, it sounds like something you'd find at like Bed Bath & Beyond, but this is so much more. So we're going to go into it just a little bit, but I'm going to go through a bit of news since the last for us. So I think biggest thing is second draw for Colorado is coming out here in the next couple of days. So hoping to firm up the rest of my tags and lay out the hunting season for me in the fall. Colin's on the road this week doing a bit of traveling back to Pennsylvania. And Corey's in Pennsylvania, as always. Got a little tied up, so he was unable to join us tonight. But working diligently to lay down our plans. And I think this year we're trying to get together to do a lot more group hunting kind of out throughout the country. That way we can do some more podcasts, some short films and stuff like that to kind of loop everybody into it. And, of course, cooking and eating, because who doesn't like cooking and eating? And then I think probably the biggest bit of news is we're like on the cusp, I would say 2 weeks from releasing our summer issue of the Harvesting Nature magazine. So I'll be getting a sneak peek from our designer here very, very soon. And I'm going to be super excited to share it with you guys. So as always, if you want to check out our spring issue, it's still available. It'll continue to be available in print format, but the electronic version we're going to file away, I believe. If you already have a subscription, you should maintain access to that. If you don't have one, I recommend getting one now so that you can still have access to it after. But we'll still have the print version up for sale. That's for the spring edition. The summer edition will roll out as normal on the website. You can subscribe or purchase it directly. So single issue is $5. A subscription for the year is $9.99. and that's a pretty good deal because it's got lots of cool content in there. We laid out all the topics, got a lot of good fishing stuff, some good summer recipes, some good summer adventures. If you want to learn about lobstering in Florida, there's that in there. We've got some spearfishing stories, fly fishing stuff. Like it's going to be a really cool one. I'm super excited. And if you've been paying attention, like Adam's rolling out the Antler and Fin podcasts, I think the most recent episode he did was Venison Rogan Josh, and that is a stew from, I believe, the northern part of India, southern part of Pakistan. No, those geographically don't line up. Anyway, it's from that area, India, Pakistan, all that, but it's traditionally made with like lamb and things like that. But it's actually a recipe based off one that Sean West, one of our field staff writers, did and posted on we have posted on the Harvesting Nature website. But he walks through that, kind of some of the history behind the dish, like some technique stuff, and then gets into the actual recipe of it, which I think is really cool. So you can kind of pause and play and cook your way through it. And then our fish spice blend should be done next week, which means it'll be in the mail to us, which means we can release it to you guys. Keep an eye out. I may or may not do a pre-sale before we actually get the order, but we'll see. And then we've still got seats available, just a few, for our wild pig hunting camp in December down in Texas. So looking forward to doing round two of that and interacting with the folks that have already signed up and the ones that will sign up in the future. So I think that's a big one for me. Try to get out this weekend and do a little bit of fishing. I've been trying to master the Tinkara rod. Doing some fly fishing, which it's a once you take the reel and the line management equation out of it, it's just like I focus on casting. It's been a little easier. I think my challenge has been that I didn't get my knot right where the line ties to the top of the pole, and so like I made a cast and my line was just like it was gone. I was like, okay, time to regroup. Well, I will introduce our guest now. So he is a businessman, inventor, outdoorsman, adventurer, hunter, angler too.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Correct.
Nice. And so he co-founded Pact Outdoors and created the first all-in-one bathroom kit for outdoor adventures, which is the cleanest way to poop outdoors. I've got one. It's pretty phenomenal. Super excited to talk about it and share it with everyone. So, Noah, welcome to the Wild Fish and Game Podcast.
Man, I really appreciate you having me. It's fun to be on here.
Absolutely. So, will you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got into the outdoors, all that jazz?
Yeah, absolutely. Born and raised in Colorado. I was actually born in Boulder. And then grew up on the Western Slope, tiny little farm town, Hotchkiss, Colorado, you know, known for probably coal mining and farming or ranching versus anything else. And all the way through high school there, went over to the University of Colorado for college and then have been here ever since. So always kind of one of the rare Colorado natives, as we run into more and more people in the state, but really, really appreciate being here and really appreciate what our state has to offer. As far as like origin story in the outdoors, a couple origins come to mind. One, it's, you know, I grew up right on the Gunnison River, right at the forks where the North Fork and the Gunnison come together, and really cut my teeth fly fishing in gold medal waters, which I had no idea how lucky I was until I went to the Front Range for a while. But, you know, got in early on fly fishing, and that was through kind of another piece of the origin. Is I worked on a pheasant ranch when I was pretty young, 13, 14, 15. And this was a ranch where, you know, we would put out pheasants for hunters from, you know, the Aspen or Crested Buttes to come over and hunt on these ranch. So they'd raise pheasants. I'd put them on the four-wheeler, drive them out early in the morning, throw them in brush piles. You know, hunters would come around, clean them up, you know, and then bring them back to me. And I'd clean them and give them back to them. So kind of always around the hunting and fishing. You know, my parents weren't really big hunters at all early on. And so that I really started getting into that later in life, kind of after college, met a couple hunting mentors later, and then it's been a dual path ever since.
Nice. Nice. And we were just talking through some big game tags before we started recording, and so you're kind of like, you're in the very heart of where there's a lot of really great big game hunting. So how have your experiences been hunting around that area?
I'm definitely in the heart of it as a fellow Coloradoan. You know the challenges we have now with point creep and yep. prized units and that. So right out my door, I'm in unit 55, which is kind of a hard tag to draw. But overall, you know, had a lot of success kind of in the area, and most recently, bow success. So I got a cow last year and a bull before that, right in these two areas. So been doing really well with that. And then this year, as we were talking, managed to draw a nice buck tag on the bow, and that'll be the first time I hunt, muleys with a bow this year. So I'm pretty excited about that as well.
Nice. In the country you're at, do you tend to hunt mule deer like lower country, or do you go higher up in elevation, or kind of midways depending on weather?
Yeah, it depends what unit I get, as well as kind of the sex. So for the buck tag this year, it's a bow tag. I'll be going up higher elevations, obviously, and that's in 54, so they have some pretty good mountains in there. Typically, though, you know, I'm over in unit 52. I mentioned my dad's got a little piece of property over there. I can get a private land tag pretty easily. That's probably more. I've never hunted in the Midwest, but I imagine that's how it feels. You're kind of sitting on the field waiting and hanging out. So that puts the meat in the freezer as well. So I'm pretty excited to be doing that, too.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's a good strategy. Speaking of meat in the freezer, you dabble much in the wild game cooking world?
A little bit. So I was listening to your last podcast you guys did on the foraging aspect, and you guys were going back a little bit in, you know, talking about some of your previous guests, like Hank Shaw. Obviously I'm a huge Hank Shaw fan. You guys probably do a better job than I do. One problem with Hank is it's always like, oh, you need these juniper berries from Afghanistan and you need to season them and dry them. And so like, I'll go halfway there with my man Hank, but I can't always go all the way there. So, you know, I have all the cookbooks, you know, another one, big one I like to follow. And my wife and I just, actually were down in Austin with Jesse Griffiths, big fan of kind of what he does.
Jesse's awesome. Well.
Yeah.
You know, he just won the James Beard Award for the Hog Book. I was super stoked for him.
I saw that. I have his first one. His first book is A Field. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That is. I don't have the Hog Book yet, but maybe I'll get on this wild pig hunting camp in December with you guys, and then justify buying that book.
Well, we're actually gonna include that. This is a first heard for a lot of folks. We're gonna include that as part of the entrance into the camp. Is we're gonna give away the Hog Book to every participant. So because it's such a solid book.
That was a good setup for you. Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
No, so
we didn't even talk that through.
circling all the way back, I'm a huge fan. You know, and one of the prideful things is we haven't bought a lot of beef in our house in the last couple of years. It's kind of a running joke. My sister brought over hamburgers one time, and we told her she had to eat them outside. So it's, and then the other wild one, if you want to go through the origin story, it's fun. So we do a hunt, gather, grow Thanksgiving where, you know, we've slowed on this a little bit, but this is a good one for you. Every dish has to have something that you hunt, gather, or grow in it. And, you know, for me or some family members who have gardens, it's pretty easy. You start thinking through the dishes you want to make. I love the family members who, like, are living in downtown Denver and sweating it out a little bit. Being like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to pull through this? So, you know, that's a big – it's fun because it helps you reflect back on the year. And every dish tells a story. It might not taste as awesome as, you know, the butterball turkey, but at the same token, there's like value to it. So that's a big tradition for us as well.
Oh man, that's awesome! I really, really like that. I may have to, borrow that one from you too. That'll be a good one.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. We invite tons of folks over. Like we just had some folks over for 4th of July, and everybody always like, what can I bring? What can I bring? And now I'm gonna be like, it's got to be something you hunted, you gather, you grew, and they're gonna be like, what?
Yeah, I mean, borrow away. I think I borrowed it from Ranella. So Steve Ranella wrote one of his books. The Haute Cuisine one. I'm probably saying that.
Oh
wrong.
Yeah, Scavenger's Guide to Haute Cuisine. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably where I got the idea, because he served a 3-course meal, was kind of like, or a 3-day meal at the end of the book. But I was like, oh man, we should do this for Thanksgiving, because every chapter in his book had a story about food and how it got there, and then he served that food. And so that was kind of the origin for me. You know, all of his was really hunting focused, but you know, you got to get those side dishes for Thanksgiving, so pretty cool.
Oh yeah. 100%. I think that's a great way too, and like the growing aspect is good, because that's, you know, people can get behind that pretty easily too.
I know. You guys were giving me some dandelion jam ideas and stuff. So some out of the box stuff from the last episode.
Yeah, thanks, man. That dandelion jam came out really good, and I just did. I just finished my spruce tip jam, and then I made the spruce tip bitters. Those came out phenomenal. I was super stoked about that.
Yeah, so, that was the first time I'd ever heard about the spruce tip jam. That's a pretty wild process you guys did. So cool.
It's very cool. Pretty straightforward. I won't. If anybody's interested, you can go back and listen to that episode for sure. We'll throw it in the show notes. But it's that was a fun one, and it's something like, this is really Colin and I's kind of first year getting into the whole foraging thing. So it was a new adventure for us. So it was fun to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about you and I met at the BHA rendezvous back in when was it, May? Yeah. In May,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, mid May.
Yeah. So was this the first year that you had gone up?
Yeah. I've always been a BHA member privately and personally. But this is the first year, you know, one, PAC's been around. So we launched in October. Hunting. Yeah, yeah. So hunting has been a segment, you know, near and dear to my heart. But, you know, it's also a segment who I thought our product could be really useful for. And what better overlap than, you know, stewards of the land like the BHA guys. You know, this is a crew that's out there all the time, that's off trail. And, you know, it's not like a backpacking or car camping. There's no packing it out. You know, you're hunting, you're back there, you're probably going to the bathroom, and you're probably burying it. And so that's a perfect segment for us, as well as stewards of the land. I mean, their whole thing is public lands. And how do you take care of public lands? Well, one way that you do that is not destroy them with your poop, basically. So So the overlap is huge, and we were really pumped. I think you probably remember we sponsored the porta potties up there, so we left kind of like
sayings.
Because
I remember seeing you guys initially, and I was like, you were putting up the sayings and signs on the porta potties, and I was like, holy smokes, this is 100% like the best marketing idea ever. So you
very captured market. Market. So we loved that. And that was great. And those guys were amazing partners, and they set us up. It was actually their idea to sponsor the porta potties. And we were like, I don't know. I don't know if everybody will get it. And it was amazing. So we were pretty pumped to do that.
That's awesome. So as we talk about your journey with PACT and the creation, new creation too, like, where did it all begin? Where did the idea come from? Like, it's something like, I think about better ways to improve my pooping experience, like in the moment, but it usually doesn't last much longer than that. But
it's, where's the better tree, or like, or am I out of sight? Yeah, exactly. I understood. So I was in the same boat. My brother-in-law and co-founder actually approached me, and he's a climber. He's a big rock climber. Mm-hmm. And one thing with rock climbers is they're all going to the exact same rock, you know? And they're all climbing the same routes. And he was like, you know, I'm sick of wag bags. And a wag bag, for anybody who's unfamiliar, is a bag that you pack out your human waste in, you know? Mm. And the reason he was sick of it is it was like, it's a bag in a bag. They give you about 2 sheets of toilet paper. You know, it's not very enjoyable. It's kind of gross. And he was like, I think we can make a better wag bag. And those guys actually do a fantastic job. It's just the experience isn't very, you know, pooping in a bag isn't awesome, let's just say. Mm-mm. And I was like, huh? Yeah. I was like, you know, that doesn't really interest me at all. But let me tell you what does interest me. And we started talking about just kind of what it means for backpacking or hunting or even car camping on BLM lands. Everybody has the home hack. And so if I asked you, I was like, what's your home hack look like? I bet I could get 90% of the way there. It's probably a gallon Ziploc bag. You probably have a half roll of toilet paper that you stash. You're like, oh, this is going to be good for hunting. You might have a wipe or two. And if you're lucky, you'll have some hand sanitizer in there. And now if you go extra elite, you might even have a little shovel. Yeah. So everybody has a home hack. And so when we're thinking about innovation, you always think about like, what are people solving at home that like could be made into a great product? Like when we hunt, for example, we have products for everything. We have our, and people to teach us, how do you set up your tent? How do you hang your bear bag? How do you cook? But nobody really teaches you how to go to the bathroom in the outdoors. And when you leave that to somebody to figure out, you end up with what we know as the ass movement. You know, a lot of surface shitting. And can I swear on this podcast? I don't know.
Sure.
You can beep it. So it's the ass movement. And the problem there then is that when multiple people are in the same areas or the same trailheads or the same areas, it becomes a problem. You know, like I always joke, if everybody followed proper practice and buried their waste and went off trail and followed all the steps of leave no trace, we wouldn't have a business model, like, because nobody would know. But the problem is, you know, it's not people are malicious or just kind of trying to do this. It's just kind of underprepared. So you combine all of that and it's like, well, how do you create a grab and go kit that is easy to use, that can throw in your backpack, your truck, that leaves you feeling cleaner and gives you all the tools. So when you arm people with tools, just like everything else we do in the outdoors, people will use them, people will appreciate them and enjoy them. So that's really kind of like the whole origin of the product as well, or the idea. And then I could probably talk about the barrier to you if you're ready, like our barrier to entry or what we saw as the real value.
Sure. Yeah.
And not to jump ahead, but that, so basically when we were looking at our kit, we were like, great, anybody could create, you know, a shovel and, you know, some toilet paper or some wipes or whatever you have. But like, that's not a great business model. We could get undercut immediately, you know, 10,000 products could show up on Amazon that was close. So we really wanted like a barrier for the packed kit. And so we started looking at like, well, is there a way to do this in a more environmentally friendly manner? Like, is it cleaner for nature, cleaner for you? And we started looking at all sorts of crazy stuff, like coconut husks are used in composting toilets or ash. You know, when you go into an RV, there's an RV digest. And we were just kind of looking at everything out there that helps with this in various things. And we came across a couple studies about, you know, mycologists who specialize in mycoremediation, who are using mushrooms or mycelium to break down waste. And we found one in a dairy farmer, I think, up in Vermont, who was using mycelium to break down cow crap. And then there was a university study where they were, there was actually crows crapping on the roof of this university, and it was washing down in the water and E. coli was coming through. So they went through a mycelium wash and it actually reduced E. coli levels and killed a bunch of pathogens. And so that kind of sparked us on, huh, this mycelium stuff, that's pretty interesting. Can we do this on a small scale?
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Hunt.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
I guess let's talk a little bit more, understand, because I want to come back to mycelium in just a minute, but like, what's in the kit, and like, how was it creating it and putting it together outside of like the mycelium bit?
Yep. We'll dive into that one. So basically the kit was looking at the home hack, what people are putting together, as well as giving kind of like all of the tools you would need. So the first thing you'll notice is the shovel. If you had your kit, you know, you'd look down and the shovel is important. You need to dig 6 to 8 inches. And the joke is when we give people a shovel, you know, our shovel has a 6-inch mark on it. We're like, dig 6 inches. People can't believe actually how deep that is. So part of it is like the right tool for the job. Like you're like, oh, I'm good enough. I covered this, you know, with a little bit of dirt. It's like 6 to 8 inches is perfect in terms of what the, you know, bioavailability of the soil is and kind of all the nutrients within there. So that's your target line. And then the big thing on the shovel was just the grip pattern. So you'll notice like a lot of the shovels you'll see that you could buy online or at even like an REI, they're stamped aluminum. So that grip pattern, if you grab the shovel, it's a little sharp. We wanted to create a shovel that had a better grip pattern, so it felt really nice in your hands. And, you know, stop me if we start nerding out too much on little
features. No, this is great. This is great.
The key is like, if you give somebody the tool to dig 6 to 8 inches, they're actually going to dig 6 to 8 inches because it feels, it's a nice tool in their hand. It's easy to use. You know, the next piece really came to like the next process, the wipes. And you probably saw these or played around with them when you got your kit. This was a house divided in terms of our brainstorm and, you know, are you a wipe guy or are you a toilet paper guy? You know, and that was kind of a funny dynamic for a long time. And then we, you know, we came up with these compressed wipes. So we didn't invent these. These are product that I've known about for a while. And it's basically a compressed dehydrated wipe that when you add water to it, it expands to a 9x9 inch towel. So what it gives you is that weight savings of like toilet paper. You're not carrying around wet wipes. They're not individually packaged in plastic. You could stash a bunch of them in there, but you still have the wet wipe once you add a little bit of water to them to really like keep you clean, leave you feeling great. Like that's the key on these. So it's, you know, we always joke toilet paper wasn't made for the outdoors. If it gets wet or it's smashed or you never know how much you really have, how can we improve that feature? So that was kind of like the next big innovative piece. The hand sanitizer kind of has a fun story. This is the heads and tails of a gin distiller over here on the Western Slope. So high alcohol content, but you can't use it obviously in gin. They capture that and toss it because it's toxic to drink. But it makes amazing hand sanitizer. And so these guys, one, they started selling this early, so they sell it through Patagonia Provisions as well, but we knew the distiller and we were like, hey, can we get in on this and get some of this? And so that's really a cool story as well. And then, you know, leaves you feeling like, or smelling a little bit like gin. And then there's a couple other interesting features in there. We do have a pack it out bag that was pretty important. So this is a washable, reusable plastic bag kind of in the top pocket of the overall case. And this is for packing out, you know, any products that you don't want in the outdoors. So one thing we always encourage is actually burying our wipe, and we're going to get to that with the mycelium. But, you know, there's a lot of like feminine hygiene products, for example, that you don't want to bury. You need to pack those out. And that's where a washable, reusable trash bag makes sense, as well as any other little trash around camp. And then the last piece you'll probably notice in like the top pocket of the pack kit is a, it's a card that's like a how-to and then best practices. So what we wanted is to people to grab this on the shelf or have a friend hand it to them or a guide hand it to them and be like, hey, this is the best practices and this is how you do it properly in the outdoors. And so that's kind of like one, you could even just read it while you're out there, you know, hugging a tree for a little while. But so many uses to that. And then the last piece, as I touched on earlier, was the mycelium.
Yeah, let's chat more about the mycelium.
Okay.
So in a very high level sense, mycelium are fungus, mushroom. Mm-hmm.
It's the root system to fungus. So the mycelium is the little white threads underground. Most of the time you don't see mycelium. Like it's in the soil, it's growing, so it's the root system to fungus. When we're talking about like, you know, mushrooms are the fruiting body. So that's what comes up out of the soil. And, you know, you see the mushrooms, so you understand they're there, but mycelium is everywhere in the soil versus like a mushroom that's, you know, only fruit in ideal conditions for that, you know, type of mushroom, for example. That's why you don't see them everywhere. They have to have the moisture. Like here in Colorado, we're hitting the monsoon season basically, and they'll start sprouting up. That's because the conditions are ideal for like the fruiting body.
Mm-hmm. So that's, so I watched that movie Fantastic Fungi, and that's like kind of the connection piece for all the mushroom world is the mycelium.
Yes. And it's nature's great decomposer. So if you remember in Fantastic Fungi, kind of that early parts, they talk about, you know, just the forest floor would be choked out without mycelium because there's nothing to decompose it. And so you're really hitting on the key features that I was alluding to with mycelium and like the value mycelium plays in nature and kind of then what that means and how we used nature in our kits.
So I've got my mycelium tabs. What am I doing with those?
Yep. So you got your hole, you did your business, you're throwing mycelium tabs into the hole. And so those are inoculated wood plugs. We inoculate those. And again, if we went back to Fantastic Fungi, the company and one of the mycologists who inoculates those for us is in Fantastic Fungi. He's at the end.
Oh, cool.
He has a really cool cameo and talks a little bit about Fantastic Fungi. But he specializes in mycoremediation. So he came up with a species that's native, non-invasive, wide range of like growth in terms of tolerance of temperatures, of areas, regions, bioregions. And so he inoculates these wood pellets. And when you throw them in the hole, they help speed the breakdown of human waste up to 10 times faster. And then reduce pathogens like E. coli. And that goes back to one, that study I was telling you about, but also if you just think through like penicillin and where penicillin comes from mold, it's the same concept. And this is where I get over my skis a little bit and being like, okay, let me build this bridge. But you know, we did a two-part study. One, it was like finding a species that meets all those criteria and then can break it down. But then also we wanted to see a coliform or pathogen reduction. And we see that by up to like 66% on average over 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah, a really cool feature. And, you know, if I would bring it all the way back around to like why that's valuable, we talk about, you know, high E. coli levels in waterways. Or here in Colorado, you probably have seen like, you know, mountain goats up on these 14ers have E. coli in their systems that they're finding. And I'd have to pull up that study. But, you know, it's just, again, taking care of nature, trying to do something that's a little bit better, a little bit cleaner as we're stewards of the land.
Yeah, no, I think you hit on that too. And it's like, as you think through best practices and all those things there, like, it's a responsibility thing. Like we want to enjoy nature. We want to be out there. We want everyone else to enjoy nature. I don't know of anyone that's like, no, I'm going to go out there and enjoy it. And you know what the hell with you guys over there, you can figure it out on your own and I'm going to go poop here. So, I think that mindset's not cool. And, I think taking some extra steps is, maybe not, I mean, not extra steps, I guess they're within, you're not, really, no one's being asked to do anything different.
No. And it's tough. I mean, you're in Colorado as well. We have a big population who loves getting outside. And mm-hmm. so a lot of what we hear is you really need to pack it out. And we are all for that. You know, if you want to pack it out, it's great. And there's spots where you do need to pack it out. If we're talking, we're hiking up to Conundrum Hot Springs, it's regulated. You have to pack out. You have to use a wag bag. If you're rafting the Black Canyon, you have to have a groover. I mean, that's very important. But, you know, for a lot of us in the backcountry, especially hunting, fishing, you know, we're not packing it out. And, you know, Leave No Trace even says, okay, here is the best practices for digging a cat hole where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And what we found in our surveys was about 95% of people don't want to pack out. Like that's, so what we mm-hmm. want to do is one, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I do not want to pack it out.
Exactly. But we also want to meet people halfway. So for the pack it out crowd, we want to develop innovative technologies the same sort of way that makes that a little bit better. You know, right now it's a bag in a bag that probably makes it into your trash can, which probably goes to the landfill. It's like, how can we make that a little more environmentally friendly? And then the next part is, well, for the crew who is not packing it out, which is a majority, it's, hey, let's do it the best way we can. So nobody mm-hmm. else has to experience that. You know, it's appreciated by you, but ignored by everybody else. So that's kind of the way we look at it.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. So we've alluded to the best practices, and we've hit on, so digging a hole, six-inch hole. Right?
Six to 8 inches, correct, yep.
Six to 8 inches, burying the wipe or toilet paper.
Yep.
So
that's important here because that is a hot topic as well. And I don't imagine you invited me on here being like, I didn't know there were so many hot topics and pooping in the outdoors. But
no, this is great though. I'm getting an education.
just read the comments or our DMs every now and then. So there is a contingent also who says like, pack out your toilet paper and pack out your wipes. Mm-hmm. And again, we never want to discourage packing it. If you want to pack out, fire away, go ahead. But in our study with our mycologist who specializes in mycoremediation, what we found with our wet wipe, so our wet wipe is plant-based fibrous materials, and it's wet. Well, you throw that in the hole, and that's like a battery for the mycelium. So the mycelium, mm-hmm. when it jumps off, it actually goes immediately to the wet wipe and then helps break down the human waste. So we saw in our study, it broke down the waste and the toilet paper faster than just human waste alone. And then the same with toilet paper was right in the middle of those two. And partly that is because toilet paper is dry. So it doesn't have that same wet material, plant-based material that mycelium loves. Like that was the big aha moment in terms of, oh, we're really onto something. Because our wipes are really specialty, you know, just plant-based fibers basically. And that's all there is to it. There's no dyes, perfumes, bleaches, anything. Whereas we also tested a famous wipe company, we won't mention their name, but it slowed down everything because there are a lot of additives in many wet wipes. So mycelium doesn't like that. So it's actually worse for the process.
Oh, wow. That's good to know. Because I've definitely done, you know, the toilet paper and wipe and, you know, it's now I think through that differently. I was going to ask, when you talk about the study and time frame, so what is the time frame that the mycelium like begins to break it down and starts to break, or you know, I don't know if you can complete the process or.
Yeah, so we did a couple things. We did a lab study and then a field test, and so when we say up to 10 times faster, that's typically in ideal environmental conditions. And so mm-hmm. it varies pretty dramatically. Like here in Colorado, we have a lot of high desert, not a lot of rainfall. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on what's in the soil. Again, that bioavailability, as well as like sun exposure, rain, altitude, freezing. You know, it will be faster when we say 10 times faster. A human going to the bathroom averages about 1 pound. And typically it takes about a year to break down. So we could see that in as little as, you know, 5 or 10 weeks, depending on the conditions.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool. Oh, and I saw this too, because I was reviewing the blog posts on your guys' site, and I know too there's a lot of folks that burn toilet paper.
Yes.
And I was going to ask your thoughts on, we've covered like why it's good to put the wipes in the hole with your poo, but outside of thinking through some fire dangers, like why should we not burn toilet paper?
Well, we laugh, but sadly that the smoke in our air from the most recent forest fire was somebody burning toilet paper down in Arizona, you know, that drifted up here. So, I mean, that is obviously number one. Now, mm-hmm. my sister lives in Alaska, for example, and that's pretty common practice up there, as she was telling us. Like, that's how they teach you to do it. So, you know, we don't encourage it, obviously. We're in Colorado. We're in mostly Western states here where a lot of our mm-hmm. products are sold. The forest fire danger is just too great. There's no real value there. You know, our stance or where we would is one, bury it, or two, pack it out. Like, that's burning your toilet paper is not a great idea.
Yeah, no, totally agree. That's like, I've never done it, but I think through that and I'm like, ugh, this makes me like a little nervous, because especially, you know, toilet paper starts to come apart and float in the air and an ember.
Wind,
and
yeah, there's a lot of logistics to that. You just kind of want to avoid that situation.
Yeah, and now that I know that using the wet wipes helps speed up the process of breaking things down, like I think it's more encouraging and less action. One less thing I have to carry in my backpack as well. So
absolutely.
So I did notice too. On your blog too, that you guys have started to partner with a few different organizations out there. Who are some of the folks that you guys partner with?
So we did partner with BHA, as you know.
Yep.
And that's been great. We touched on that a little bit. We partnered with Continental Divide Trail Coalition over the last couple months, and so we gave a percentage of our monthly sales to those guys. As well as attended kind of one of their kicking off events. I think it was their birthday party. And then we'll look to adopt a section of that trail as well for trail maintenance and just kind of have the pack crew on that. Yeah. Yeah, that's really nice. Fun. One of the recent ones here in the backyard is Crested Butte Mountain Bike Alliance.
Okay.
So that's Simba, and they're also part of Crested Butte Conservation Corps. These guys are amazing. If you haven't looked them up, they're kind of like the first mountain biking association in the U.S. Patagonia just did an amazing story on those guys of, you know, forming in the 1980s about trail maintenance and keeping care of the valley. It's been really, really cool to kind of partner with those guys. They have 5 full-time trail builders up here. And a lot of their role is, one, you know, clearing trees and making sure the trails are open. But the second is, you know, making sure dispersed campsites are good. They just sent me an email today. They're on their third backcountry makeshift bathroom that they cleared out. So people will haul materials back there and make like a backcountry bathroom. And they've cleared out 3 already this year. Yeah. So, and then in addition, we found them. They had a pretty funny social media post where, and I don't say funny haha, I'd say funny haha from the pack point of view. Their crew shoveled 2 trash bags full of human waste at a trailhead. And so what that was really important for us is to be like, hey, let's get in front of these guys. They're obviously talking to a lot of people on trails, and they're obviously dealing, you know, they're the first line of defense on a lot of this. So how can we support them not only with packed kits and products, but education? One thing we're doing for those guys is giving them a lot of single serves. So that's, you know, not the whole kit, but it's the wipes and the mycelium that they can give to a lot of people on the trails as they get busier up here. So we try to partner with a few of those partnerships every couple months, and those were the most recent ones.
Man, that's awesome. No, yeah. It's good work too, and it, you know, all those great things show that too. You guys are just not in it in it for the business. Like, you're really trying to do some good out there in the world, which is, it's good to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super important for us to be connected, one, to the communities, but also like the feedback loop and working with these guys has just been fantastic. Again, they have the best ideas. They're the first line of defense on this. So anything we could do to support that's really important.
Absolutely. So are there any other initiatives that you guys are working towards, I phrase this, spreading the news about proper pooping? sorry, yes. I had to throw one poop pun in there, or it wouldn't have been a great podcast episode.
I would have been bummed if you didn't. Yeah, I would have been bummed if you didn't. So, and don't worry, we've heard every poop joke possible.
I could imagine.
Yeah,
I could imagine.
Well, I have a 7 and 9 year old, so the humor is right in the wheelhouse, and I also wonder how like proud of their father they are when they go to school to say what their dad does. So, other big initiatives, obviously, you know, we're targeting some of the big names out there, like the National Forest Foundation and National Forest. You know, we're working on some partnerships with Leave No Trace. That's really important to us. They are a huge voice in this space, obviously. They have really high standards, which we appreciate and need. So it's third-party peer-reviewed research. You know, we're working on getting that aligned with universities that says, okay, if this happens, then that happens. And, you know, we're on month 9 now of our study, but this is our mycologists we hired. We want independent studies, and there's a lot of good ones out there, but we want this really focused on the issues we're looking to solve and how do we make the best products. And so getting some of that data is important as we work towards some of these bigger partnerships as well.
Yeah, nice. So I know you have the kit, and you mentioned the single use. What other products do you have, or methods that they're sold?
So that's the primary product. But as we look into the future, we kind of call that like the Goldilocks product. That goes right in the middle of everything. And so if you had your kit in your hand, you look at it, we get a lot of feedback from backpackers that are saying, hey, we really love this. We love the mycelium. We love the wipes. It's too heavy or it's too big. I don't want to bring this. Or, you know, we look at segments like trail running or mountain biking. And it's like, these guys want single use. It's usually, unless you're bike packing, like say, it's not multi-day. So it's, how do we go bigger and how do we go smaller? And then the bigger piece is the van life or the family camping. It's,
Yeah,
we have a lot of like features in here that are really nice. How do you expand that to really make this like a bathroom kit for a family or the van life where weight is not an issue, where you can have, you know, more products within there? So kind of our next product we're rolling out is the backpacking kit. So if you look at this, you'll notice something about your shovel. Everything fits in the handle of the shovel. So you have your wipes and mycelium. That's so cool. And that's going to be really big for kind of this outdoor market for the fishing and hunters as well. So your entire bathroom kit is basically the size of your shovel. And so that's coming here in the next couple months. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that product. As well as, you know, we won a Brooks Running Company grant to make a runner's kit for trail runners, and then it'll spin off into mountain bikers. And that goes back to, hey, what's a little tool that people will carry with them to follow best practices, and then also the single serve wipes and mycelium that they could refill. And that's probably a good note to remind that like everything in the kit can be refilled, the mycelium and wipes, you know, just by adding that. So it's not, once you run out, you're out. It's like, oh, we sell little refills to just restock you.
Yeah, it's pretty, and you know, next up, so where can folks go to get the kit, to get the wipes, the tabs, all your stuff?
Yep. You can go to packedoutdoors.com. We sell direct there. In Colorado here, we have a number of specialty retailers, both on the Front Range and Western Slope. So you can look for a packed kit there, or ask them about it. We've talked to many of them. moosejaw.com. So that's this is originally how like the PACT idea really got off the ground, is we won the Moose Jaw Outdoor Accelerator probably, I guess it's about 18 months ago now. And they helped launch the product in terms of adding it to their website, giving us a little bit of you know, sponsorship on that. And so they've been a fantastic partner as well. And then shortly here, holding with bated breath, you'll be able to pick it up at REI as well.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, yeah, really, really big moment for us. And we're excited to kind of partner with those guys as well.
No, that's awesome. Congrats on that.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And I'm going to tell everyone out there right now that's listening, like, you should do this. Like, look at it. You know, go
check
ahead
it
and
pull
the trigger. Yeah, check it out. Learn too. And, you know, I think that you're spot on with the new adaptation of the shovel. I was thinking through that as we were talking, and I was like, I was looking at the image of just the shovel on the website, and I was like, it would be cool if everything just like was like a little cylinder. So you guys, man, you're on it, which is awesome.
We're on it. We're working through it. You know, we're a small team, so everything moves a little bit slower than we want. But we're pretty excited by that, and I feel comfortable talking about it because we have a patent pending, so pretty stoked on that. And that's a recent development, and as well, you know, big learnings there. But it's been really fun, so we're really excited kind of with that product. I think that's going to hit a lot more people a lot easier. It has a lower price point, and then again, for this probably crew listening to this, it can go anywhere. It goes in any side pocket, your truck, anything. So any vest or anything, it's real small. So
I'm excited. We're planning some outdoor adventures here pretty soon, and I dragged my family along with me, and we're definitely going to take the kit. My wife was very interested in testing it out and trying it out. Of course, I have a 9-year-old as well, and she was like, what is this? Like, kind of exploring it, reading, you know, checking everything out. And I told them our story of meeting up at Rendezvous, and she was super excited. So
no, that's awesome. And you know, I think you have a younger child as well too, right?
I do. Yeah, I have a 2-year-old.
Right. So it's funny because we talk about this. We talk about the tip of the spear, everybody who needs the best products. I can't tell you the number of times my kids have been, you know, we've been out on some adventure just doing something. They're like, yep, I got to poop. And you're like, all right, you know. And so that goes back to that original statement of like, people aren't malicious. It's just being prepared. You know, are you ready for this? And these are great family kits. I mean, it's perfect for the kids. It's easy to use. So we're pretty hyped by that. But that's a huge market as well in our house.
We had we were out because I'd been trying to work with them, because like I don't know if you like, we're just a year out here in Colorado. So I've been working with my daughter a lot to like, hey, like when you got to go out in the woods, like here's the best practices. Here's what you got to do. You got to dig a little cat hole. You got to like figure. And she's like, you can just see like the gears turning in her mind, and she's like why, like what am I doing? But I think that education piece too is like super important, especially for setting a good tone for her, because she loves being in the outdoors. And you know, I'd hate for her to reflect back later and be like, oh man, what have I been doing kind of my whole life? So we'll just lay it out the right way the first time.
But yeah, but you're not far off. And I go back to that survey of like, a lot of people fear going to the bathroom outdoors. You know, we always joke of like who these people are. We've profiled them as like the holder, or they don't go out for multiple nights, or, you know, they get up early and leave their tent so nobody knows what they're doing. And part of it is exactly what you're doing with your daughter. It's the education as well as like taking the mystique away of like, oh, this is really gross and it's horrible. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hey, if you want to enjoy the outdoors, you're probably going to have to poop, and let's help you make it a little cleaner and more seamless, you know? And so the education is the key on that. Yeah. It's like, hey, let's teach everybody best practices, but also help with that intimidation, and then be compassionate with it. It's not, you're not at home. It's harder, you know, it's a little bit more difficult for sure.
Sweet. What's the best way for people to connect with you if they have questions or, you know, they want to learn a little more?
Yeah, they could always write us any more questions. Hello@packedoutdoors.com. And mm-hmm. that's our email. They could also jump on our Instagram, and that's @packedoutdoors. We mentioned
and that's
our website.
Packed with a T, right?
Yeah, PACT, packed. Yes, good catch on that one. And then the website is packedoutdoors.com, PACTOutdoors.com.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So we had it flagged. I'm still curious. What did your bathroom kit look like prior to this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you pretty much nailed it. So I started deviating away from the wipes. So it would be a Ziploc bag. It would be, or sorry, I deviated from toilet paper to the wipes. So it would be a wipe or wipes. And then, you know, I would use either a stick or rock or the heel of my boot to dig out whatever I needed to. Or one of my hunting buddies always carries a shovel. And so I was just like, hey, man, like, let me borrow your shovel. So that was pretty much it. And then I carry like a little bitty thing of like, you know, environmentally friendly hand soap or, you know, soap that I kind of just use throughout. But yep, that's cool. That's it. You hit it pretty spot on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the home hack everybody has. So that's also our competition. It's challenging, you know, yep. When you're half roll of toilet paper is your competition, but that's why we wanted to create like each piece with like intention. And I feel like we've done a really good job.
Oh, I agree. And it definitely shows. It shows, and then once you kind of think about it for a minute, like at Rendezvous, like you gave me that little plug for the towel or the wipe, and
yeah,
like I carried it around in my pocket for, you know, a day before I use it, because I was like, I just kind of want to see, you know, in my pocket floating around with other gear and stuff with like what's going to go on with it. But I was like, once you think about it, and you're like, this is actually really, really, really useful. And it's more useful than what I would normally carry. And it's, you know, I can appreciate it. It's one of those products that the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, yeah, this is really good.
Yeah. So, and we're such gearheads in these segments, you know, fishing or hunting or hiking or mm-hmm. whatever it is. It's like when you find a piece of gear that you really like and people put time and really that intention in, it's fun just for that discovery you just talked about. Of like, oh man, I appreciate having this now. You know, I didn't know I needed it, but I'm really glad I have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, sometimes I tell people, you know, there's two types of adventures. There's the types of adventures where you go out and you're like, man, this is really awesome. I'm enjoying myself. Every moment, super great. Like, I'm having such a blast. And there's those adventures where it's like, holy smokes, this is really terrible right now. Like, I am miserable. But then you look back on it, you know, 5 days later, a week later and all that, and you're like, that was awesome. Like, I really, looking back, what a great experience. In the moment, it was terrible. But it's also those little things, those little pieces of gear, little, you know, lessons that you've picked up along the way that make those miserable moments like a little bit better.
Yeah. So you're describing type two fun, and type two is where you reflect back and you're like, oh, that was fun, even though it was miserable. And I've never heard our kits described as like type two kits, but I'm glad that might be,
might be
a good segment. This is like, I'm not looking forward to this, but I'm glad I have it kind of thing, you know, or reflecting back. Yeah. So that's pretty funny.
I picture like on the side of a mountain, like freezing and rain and, you know, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, no. But I'm like, wait, I am prepared.
You are prepared now. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, Noah, well, unfortunately, our clock is ticking down. So this is like the last bit of the show where, you know, if you have any last thoughts, ideas, concepts you want to share or questions, what you want to go through with the audience or me or anyone, please fire away. If not, no big deal.
Yeah. I think I'm good. I loved hearing about your bathroom kit. I'm really going to love hearing about the crew. So I think This is one of those viral products, and this is how PAX gets bigger. Is when you're sitting around camp and you guys are all in your tents, or you have your nice one. It's people are like, where'd you get that? And so I'm excited for you guys to test the product, get it out, especially with families, and then this hunting season upcoming. So it'll be fun to get your guys' feedback and just kind of what you thought overall.
Oh yeah, 100%. We'll definitely shoot you some notes back on it for sure, and stay connected. I mean, we're pretty close too, so to come down and say hey and grab a beer or coffee or something while I'm down that way.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, we'd like to have you up at Crest Butte anytime as well. So you're always invited up here.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on today. It's been a good conversation. I know I'm hoping and knowing that folks stuck through it, because it's an interesting topic, right? It's just a little off kilter from what we normally talk about in the wild food realm. But I think there's a lot of value to it. And as you start to think through like the season, prepping for hunting season, no matter where you're at, you can be, you know, you'd be hunting in the Northeast, you can be, you know, in a deer stand in the Midwest, you can be, you know, traipsing through the swamp down south, like wherever you're at, like this is something everybody, as I tell my kids, everybody poops. It's okay. And so this is the product to kind of get us all in a better spot with that, which I think is really awesome. But I'm excited to see where it's going to go for you guys, and excited that we got to have the chat and meet at Rendezvous. It was awesome. So
yes. Long chat about pooping in the woods, but I appreciate the time. And it's been amazing. Hopefully people could hang with us on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say thanks to all the listeners out there for tuning in. And then, as always, the show notes will be available online, so you can click the links to the products, to the blog posts we mentioned. Any social media stuff will be there as well. But make sure you go visit visit the Instagram for Packed Outdoors and give them a follow, so you can stay up on all the cool things they're doing. And then after that, double check that you're following Harvesting Nature, because we've got so much stuff going on here that I'm really excited to share with everyone. And I get fired up when I see the posts go out on Instagram. So it's good things. And then, as always, whatever podcast platform you're listening to, please punch that 5-star button, leave us a review, tell us what we're doing wrong, or, you know, tell us what we're doing right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.